Shoot. Recorded live.
I used to feel down, but I hit the ground running. Makes me feel alive. I was searching for the answers until I changed the question. I pulled back the curtain. I used to feel down, but I hit the ground running. Makes me feel alive.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Aftershock Pro Wrestling Talk Show. I am your host, Sean Wolford, joined, as always, by George Jones and Kyle Patton, here for the next hour, talking professional wrestling. And guys, how are we doing today? George, why don't you head off?
Yeah, I'm great, thank you. It's been a really good week in wrestling.
And Kyle, yourself?
I'm doing excellent, thanks. How about you, Sean?
I am, yeah, a bit ill, but nevertheless, I'm good. But anyway, let's tell the people what we've got coming up on this week's show. First off, we'll have the latest WWE and TNA news, including WWE draft discussion. We'll also be bringing you an Extreme Rules pay-per-view preview for the show, which goes down Sunday night.
Sunday night on pay-per-view.
Yeah. Anyway, guys, we'll also be taking your calls throughout the show, and you can ring us in via your telephone or Skype or whatever you have. The phone number is 724-444-7444, followed by the call ID, which is 94719, and then hash. My bad there, guys. But anyway, let's start off with this week's news. First off on my list, I have that The Rock will be appearing on next week's Raw for his birthday celebration. To me, this is going to be a very interesting sort of event for what is going to go down. It's an interesting story, I think, that WWE are bringing him in, especially with the whole Mick Foley wanting to appear on the show but not being allowed. I may well believe that be seeing a surprise here, and he may just turn up. But what do you guys about this, Kyle?
Well, it's his birthday celebration. It's in his hometown, Miami. And it's also where WrestleMania 28 is going to be. It'll be fun to watch. Rock's always entertaining. And as for the Mick Foley stuff, I don't really think he'll turn up. I mean, I know he wanted to be there. He joked about it because of a previous thing that he had done with The Rock's birthday and such years ago. It'll be fun to watch. I'm looking forward to it.
And George, what's your thoughts on this? Are you looking forward to it?
Yeah, it should be good. Foley definitely won't be there. He is coming back to TNA quite soon, as you probably are aware. I'm expecting to see Yuppie the Clown, though, if that's some sort of consolation. I'm pretty sure that John Cena's going to present like something like a birthday cake or something, probably jump out. Should be interesting to see how they start building up the feud, really. Long way to go, though, to next year's Mania.
Yeah, I think it's going to be one of those more building blocks for
I was very surprised, though, to see them have The Rock come back so soon, particularly the week after the draft. Surely the first week of the draft of Raw should be left so new wrestlers sort of could bed in and start their feud for the next month.
Yeah, I'm just worried that they're going to get the guys, Rock and Cena, too near each other and then sort of spoil the next year's Mania match. But it'll be interesting to see. My next story on the list here is TNA's announcement of their Base Brawl event, which will be held in multiple places during June, including Buffalo, New York, and Brooklyn, New York. Guys, what do we think about this? The last one they did was very successful. We definitely saw some footage over here on the UK version of Impact. Kyle, did you see any? It looked really impressive from what we saw.
I did a video. I wasn't in person, but I did. And they also, their one of the events they held out in a baseball stadium in New York was one of their highest attended events ever, leading the States. I don't know about the UK, but they do pretty decent numbers there. But, it was successful, enjoyable. It's a good thing they do this. It seems to be working in the past.
Kyle, your audio is a little bit breaking up there. I don't know, I'll just mute you and then I'll mute you 2 seconds. But George, why don't you elaborate on that? What's your thoughts on this?
It's a great opportunity to meet some of the best TNA stars. Hulk Hogan's going to be there, Abyss, Kurt Angle, AJ Styles, Beer Money and Eric Young. It should be a good opportunity really to get even closer to TNA stars as such. I think it's a good opportunity to see TNA basically promote themselves. Although this looks like it's even more, they're chucking down the drain money that they can't really afford to have, unfortunately.
I mean, personally for me, I'd really like to see them actually film an Impact in one of them. You know, they've got enough time, I feel, to set this up, but it's just whether they actually feel like doing it. And obviously there's been some shenanigans going on backstage at TNA, as we've heard. Do you think they will be filming an Impact, Kyle?
Really? They should film an Impact at an event like this. I mean, they're already there. I think it would be awesome to get out of the Impact Zone. We saw how well it worked when they got out and went into North Carolina. The crowd was a lot better because they're not burned out. I think they should definitely take advantage of an event like you know, baseball or something, live event, and use an Impact. Tape an Impact.
WWE tried this when it was WWF in 98. They tried something called Football 98. And it wasn't too bad. I think it just ended up being a glorified house show, so hopefully TNA will fare better.
Do you think they will film it, though, George?
They'll have some clips of Jerry Borash on Impact. It won't be filmed as a show as such. I just think it. Hopefully they would use it to expose TNA. Perhaps the main baseball star will appear with one of the main TNA stars. They usually do that, and then it might end up on like Sports Today or one of the sport programs over in the States. Possibly.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I think we'll see some sort of YouTube videos appearing, maybe a 20-minute, 30-minute documentary on it. Possibly even, I know with the latest FanFest for their lockdown pay-per-view, they streamed that live. I know it's outside, so it'd be interesting to see, but they may well think about contemplating doing it. But it'll be an interesting story. Anyway, my next story on the line is CM Punk hinting at leaving WWE. He, according to multiple sources, has not signed a new contract that WWE have offered him. I think, personally for me, this is going to be a major loss if they do lose him. I just don't see it actually happening. I feel that Punk's in a great position right now. He's probably one of the most overheels in the bar, Michael Cole, possibly. He's a great worker, and would you really want to be leaving WWE if you're in that bad a, unless you're in that bad a situation? George?
Yeah, he won't go anywhere. I think it's just mind games. Punk quite often likes to test internet fans as such. Where else is he going to go? I don't think he'll go TNA. He's not going to go Ring of Honor, where he's going to earn three times as less. I think he'll re-sign. Although if he does eventually go, then it will be a big loss. He's a pretty good wrestler, to be fair. He's one of the better wrestlers in WWE at the moment.
Kyle, do you feel he will be leaving the company soon, or do you think he might well stay?
I think it's a little bit overplayed. I don't think he's going anywhere. I mean, that doesn't mean he can't, but I don't see him going anywhere. He's not going to go to TNA because he's not going to take a pay cut and whatnot. From what I know, he hasn't done anything in acting, so I don't think he would go anywhere there. I think he's just trying to, kind of what George said, he's just trying to play his cards and trying to get the best deal he possibly can, because he obviously is frustrated with his current position.
Yeah, I think it's probably all about the money, really. I don't know what he's making, but I actually saw an interview with him on YouTube the other day from a few months back when he didn't cut all the hair and straight edge stuff, and to me I was actually really surprised at how different he looked, and just like, who on earth is that guy? But I don't know whether there's just strange things like that where he wasn't pleased that he had to do the shaving of the head. And it'd just be interesting to see what occurs. However, I don't feel that he will be leaving anytime soon. You know, he's pretty much in the top of the world entertainment company. Sorry, he's not in the number one wrestling company, because you'd have to be in TNA or RH to do that. But Carl, can I get you to just ring back in? Your phone connection seems to be a bit dodgy. Is that all right?
Yep, I'll give you a call back.
George, whilst we do that, can we'll move on to the next story just briefly here, which is Chris Jericho sadly being voted out of Dancing with the Stars. I think we may well could see him reappear on Extreme Rules possibly, but there's no doubt he'll be back in ring pretty soon. What do you feel about this?
Yeah, Jericho wrote on Twitter, "For the first time in 8 weeks, I don't have dance rehearsals. What am I going to do with myself? Anything going on in Tampa this weekend?" Obviously, Extreme Rules has been held in Tampa. He won't be there. I can confirm that now. I think he's got no complete cause, at least for so many days after the show, although he is going to be coming back to WWE. Really, he does need to come back as a heel, because WWE at the moment is so short of heels, particularly top heels anyway, in my opinion, and it'd be good to have him back. He's a great wrestler.
Yeah, I feel when he does, if he does, and when he does return, we will probably see him go to SmackDown side of things, mainly. I mean, we'll get onto the draft later on in the show. But I feel that they're really lacking in terms of star power at the moment still for this draft.
But I think unfortunately, though, he'll come back as a face. I can't see him. He's one of the people that's sort of been missed. I think people instantly want to cheer him. Even if he does try and play a bit of a bad guy, people will want to cheer him.
Yeah, I'm not sure what they'll do with him, whether they'll put him heel or face. My guess is that he will be on SmackDown, if not, and I'd be very surprised. But I'd be interested to get Carl's thoughts on this when he just calls back in. But let's move on to our next story. This is Jim Ross injuring his hand during the Michael Cole match, where I believe he's either broken or sprained it. I mean, do you reckon this could affect the way that the match goes down on Sunday?
No, I don't think it will. I would guess that Jerry the King Lawler would have taken the majority of the workload anyway, to be honest. Ross is not known as a wrestler. I think he'll come in and might get a spot of beating Michael Cole just to make the fans happy. But it's obviously not great him getting injured, but... yeah, it looks like his hand is just swollen. And the other day, he couldn't make a fist, apparently, is what he said. So I'm sure it'll be fine.
You don't think, I'm just throwing this out here, but you know, with Jericho obviously not being in the WWE at the moment, but and I know you mentioned the 90-day no-compete clause, but I mean, if he re-signs with WWE, can he not just bypass that? You don't think that he may, well, this could be like some way of getting out of the match and bringing in Jericho just for some star power on the show? What do you think about this, George?
I would say it's a bit of an outrageous statement, to be honest. I don't think that would happen. The thing is, the pay-per-view is so weak, the lineup for the pay-per-view. If Jericho was coming back, it would have been all over TV, mate. They would have advertised it to the heels, really. Possibly the way WWE is, never say never, but I'd be very, very surprised if that happens. Very, very, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned there that there's very much lack in star power, hence why I threw it out there. But it'd be interesting to see, I think. I know it's a bit out the blue, but there's never, you can't ever say never. So, I know you've got a story on Hulk Hogan and Bill Goldberg related one, George. Do you want to expand on that and just tell people what happened? I believe it was on Twitter.
Apparently Hulk Hogan came out to this morning and said that he wouldn't mind seeing Goldberg in TNA, although Goldberg's time has gone over 10 years ago now. It's just I don't think he'd add anything to TNA. I think Hogan is just trying to get a payday for everybody that's sort of done him a favour, really. I really don't think it will happen. I think it's a rumour. I'd be very, very surprised if he does happen, particularly the way that TNA have got money troubles at the moment. They could barely afford to keep themselves in business, let alone pay for somebody like Bill Goldberg that hasn't worked for years in the wrestling industry.
I mean, he's not doing much at the moment. I know that. I believe Carl, if you're, is Bill Goldberg doing some sort of TV deal on a small cable network in America?
I don't think it'll happen. It's just Hulk Hogan trying to get people talking. I don't see it happening. There was rumors, you know, a few years ago that he was in talks with TNA, and he shot it down and said he's not interested in doing anything like that. So I don't think it's going to happen, but it's just rumor. Just talk.
Last time this happened, they sort of filmed a vignette, and originally everyone thought it was Goldberg, but it did turn out to be Kurt Angle, luckily. That was a great move for TNA, in my opinion.
I mean, with TNA, you never know, really. They could just... It could well be... I mean, it's probably more likely to be just Hogan speculating, but you never really know. You know, they just sometimes say things and then think, oh, well, that's what the fans want. Let's do that. But anyway, I think we'll see what happens. Why don't we come back after this, guys, and do some draft talk, but if that's cool with you.
Yeah, that's great.
Right, we'll be right back after this with WWE Draft Talk.
It's the most anticipated event of the year.
The sheer spectacle of 75,000 to 80,000 people is pretty mind-blowing.
A worldwide celebration.
Everybody wants to be a part of it.
Now, see how it all began. It's a huge gamble, the biggest gamble I've ever been involved with.
Welcome to WrestleMania!
For the first time ever, the untold story is yours in The True Story of WrestleMania.
There's so many bits, facts, fallacies, and the hidden stuff, and if what?
Exclusive behind-the-scenes access.
Until you get to that moment, a minute or 2 minutes before your match, it's not real.
Untold stories.
As long as it rings, it's like I couldn't think of anything but my dad. I can feel a presence.
That gives you an inside look at every WrestleMania.
There's nothing like it.
An amazing event, but an amazing story to me of how it had to be.
The True Story of WrestleMania. Own it on Blu-ray and DVD Tuesday, March 15th.
Welcome back to the Aftershock Pro Wrestling Talk Show. I am here with my co-host, George, and iNeedWrestling.com's very own Kyle Patton. We are here for the next 40 minutes talking everything in the WWE and TNA wrestling world. Let's discuss the draft that took place on this past week's Monday Night Raw, guys. I'm going to go over what we first had as the like main drafts on the show. We had Randy Orton, Sin Cara, and Mark Henry to SmackDown. And we also had Alberto Del Rio, Big Show, and Rey Mysterio moving to Raw. Early on in the show, Cena was drafted to SmackDown, before the end of the show, he was back again on Raw. What do we think on these three moves? I mean, the one that stands out to me here the most is the Mark Henry to SmackDown one and how they made a big deal out of it. It just seems a little bit strange to me that Mark Henry, why wasn't this on the supplemental draft and not either Jack Swagger or Daniel Bryan, as we will get onto later, wasn't. But what do you guys think on this?
Mark Henry has never really recovered ever from the Mae Young episode. I was very surprised. To be honest, I'm surprised he's still in the contract. Never rated his work. He's just poor, really.
Kyle, your thoughts on Mark Henry going to SmackDown and how it was put as quite a big deal?
I kind of agree with you. It should have been more on the supplementary draft that they had on WWE.com. I mean, he's really not that big of a player anymore. He's a mid-carder guy. That's it.
Go ahead, man.
I was going to say, the thing with Mark Henry is that what I laughed about was when originally he's a face, and then in the same instance, he's turned the heel. It was just a total waste of time, really. I couldn't understand why he did that.
I mean, it's the way the show ended with him sort of putting the SmackDown team down and losing one guy. Are they giving a big push? And that's my worry. I really don't want to see another Mark Henry major push. It's just
unfortunately, it's going to be Christian and Mark Henry, I think, for the title very soon. I think that'll be the next month, unfortunately. I'm not really looking forward to it. I pray it isn't, but I think that's more than likely what it's going to be, unfortunately.
I mean, that just shows you the star power that SmackDown has not really gained from this draft. I mean, Randy Orton, we all guessed it last week, I think, on the show, that he was moving to SmackDown, and it was kind of good and bad. We were confused on whether it was a good move or not, and I think they're going to push him a lot. It's just, I'm not going to spoil the show for tonight, for Friday Night SmackDown, but by the looks of things, Del Rio's back on SmackDown already, from what I've seen. But it's just an interesting draft. I mean, do we think... Sorry, go ahead. Was someone going to say something?
I was going to say, my opinion of SmackDown, after the draft, basically, SmackDown only has two major faces. They have Orton, who lacks personality and is more of a tweener. I think possibly now it's all down to Christian to shine. Kane needs to go back to being a heel with a mask, in my opinion. He's too much of a comedy character. Also, they need to get The Undertaker back as soon as possible, but he's probably going to come back to Raw, not SmackDown. I think what they should do, possibly, is turn Christian heel, and at least then he'll have Orton's feud with. Maybe.
I mean, on the Raw side of things we have here, we have Del Rio, as I said earlier, Big Show, and Rey Mysterio. It seems, again, we've got two guys that are fairly decent, Rey and Alberto, but you've also got the Big Show, who's just sort of thrown in there, and you're just kind of wondering why they did it. I mean, he was one of the only ones that actually came across as a bit upset that he was moved across. Carl, what do you think on them pushing these big guys again, like Mark Henry and the Big Show? Do you think there is some length in it, or is it just a time filler sort of thing?
I'm not a big fan of it. I mean, Big Show's already run his course. He's a tag team champion right now. You know, the whole Mark Henry thing, the only thing great about that is he hasn't been doing anything, so turn him heel, why not? Del Rio being on SmackDown and whatnot, that'll go on until, you know, Extreme Rules is done. But having guys like Big Show back in and stuff on the big picture and Raw, he's going to be fighting for a title. It's kind of not a big deal.
In my opinion, Del Rio should never have ever have gone to Raw without The Miz going the other way. Del Rio was the main heel on SmackDown. All we've got now is Sheamus. We've got a Raw end of the deal.
I mean, yeah, let's cover these sort of the supplemental ones. I mean, me and George were on the phone to each other as they were going on, and he's just said to me, do you want some updates? I was like, yeah, how many have they done? And he's like, well, I've been sat here for the last 2 hours and they've done, what, 15 or 20? It's just dragging out and out. So it's just like, why on earth are they doing this? But we had Daniel Bryan from Raw, going from Raw to SmackDown, where Jack Swagger moving to Raw, the Great Khali with his manager from Raw to SmackDown, Jimmy Uso from Raw to SmackDown, Kelly Kelly from SmackDown to Raw, JTG from SmackDown to Raw, Alicia Fox from Raw to SmackDown, William Regal from Raw to SmackDown, Yoshitatsu, from Raw to SmackDown, Drew McIntyre from SmackDown to Raw, Natalia, I think it is, from Raw to SmackDown, Kurt Hawkins from SmackDown to Raw, Chris Masters from SmackDown to Raw, Jey Uso from Raw to SmackDown, Kofi Kingston from SmackDown to Raw, Ted DiBiase to SmackDown, Tyson Kidd to SmackDown, Tamina to SmackDown, Tyler Rex to Raw, Alex Riley to SmackDown, Beth Phoenix to Raw, and the WWE United States Champion Sheamus from Raw to SmackDown. I mean, the ones that stand out there to me are Tyler Rex and Kofi Kingston, as well as Bryan Danielson and the WWE United States Champion Sheamus. They're kind of strange moves to me, but I think they could well work. I think moving Kofi from SmackDown to Raw is a bit of a shame, you know, another loss in star power as someone who was rising up the ranks, but, you know, we could see something happen. A big push when he goes to Raw. I mean, Kyle, what do you think on this?
You know, the whole thing that I was thinking after this draft is, why is the WWE so harsh on Zack Ryder, actually? I mean, you don't hear about anything about him. He did have a match on Superstars this week, which he actually did win, by the way. But I mean, this guy should be, he's on Raw technically. I thought that maybe they would send him to SmackDown and actually give him some time on TV, because you know he's not going to get time on Raw. And it'll be interesting to see what Shane does on, now that he's on SmackDown. Like we pointed out, he's going to be pretty much, you know, the heel guy over there. Maybe a feud with Randy Orton in the future, who knows. I don't know. I wasn't very impressed with this draft at all. And like you did say, it did drag out quite a bit for several hours. They had like 22 picks, I believe, on WWE.com Tuesday.
George, what were you going to say there? Sorry, I missed you.
My opinion of the whole draft is Raw is very heel heavy now. They've got so many heels on there. They've got Del Rio, CM Punk, The Miz, Wes. They've got not that many faces. The only major face they have now is Rey Mysterio and John Cena and John Morrison, but he's not really ready to be a star yet. And as for Kofi Kingston, he spent his last like match on SmackDown staring at the lights. It's just woeful, to be honest. The draft was really, really bad.
I mean, I kind of missed that we didn't see Awesome Kong come out. I thought that would have been actually shaken up and made the draft look fairly decent, no matter how bad it was. But obviously they're saving her for something, maybe extreme. But I think it's just this draft overall. I mean, is there any moves that didn't happen that you would actually really like to see? Kyle?
I just want to say, like, this whole thing with John Cena being drafted to SmackDown and then draft back on the show was absolutely pointless, because one, it doesn't increase SmackDown's ratings. Two, it doesn't increase Raw's ratings. Three, it just doesn't do anything. It was just a knee-jerk, you know, thing that the WWE did. They just pretty much worked us on national TV. We got nothing out of it. I think that was a waste of time by the WWE. And overall, this draft is very poor. It helped SmackDown out a little bit.
I mean, yeah, I'm going to elaborate on that a bit. But I was actually, when they announced that first, I thought, yes, I've actually guessed it right. But then kind of knew from that early on that he was going to, my guess was that he was going to go back to Raw. But the thing is, I was actually quite excited about watching SmackDown this week, just mainly to see that John Cena is not, and he's in the blue color, you know, something slightly different, maybe someone we haven't even worked with before. I'm kind of sick of the same Miz, you know, Miz, the Nexus, or what have you. I mean, George, what were your thoughts on the whole Cena moving back and forward, or back and then back again, if you get what I mean?
As I said last week's show, I never believed Cena would end up going to SmackDown. He was never prepared to work Tuesdays, in my opinion. Yeah, it was just pointless. I think it was quite good that they played it back and forth. But for Cena not going, SmackDown shouldn't have just got Randy Orton. They should have got Miz or somebody just to justify it. You don't give someone Cena, the main star in the company, and then just hand over someone rubbish in exchange. They almost just raided SmackDown of all their best wrestlers. And it's just SmackDown is just a B-rated show now. I really don't know what they're going to do with that brand. I really worry for them.
I want to ask you guys about Tyler Rex, as I mentioned earlier, of going from SmackDown to Raw. Do you think we could be seeing a big, big push from WWE towards him? He's the kind of guy I would like to see get pushed, but he's just not having luck at the moment on SmackDown when he was there. Do you feel we could see a big push with Tyler Rex? He's a kind of strange build, but I know, and he's got a strange look, but he would may well be a very entertaining guy for the fans to get over with, George.
Yeah, I think I do quite like him. He's got a very unique look, which I think is good. He was pushed to the moon when he was in Florida Championship Wrestling, which was the developmental territory of WWE. He actually won the world title there, so he's capable of a lot of things. SmackDown do need something different, but he should bring a lot to the table.
Carl, what do you think on Tyler Rex going from SmackDown to Raw? Could we be seeing a push?
Well, he had a small push on SmackDown. It didn't work out. It failed. He's on the Raw now. I think this is Twitch's his last chance to prove it. I like his look. He's different compared to any other heel that's, you know, in the WWE right now. He's got his own look, which is great. And I think this is his chance. Does he do it? I don't know. It's 50-50 for me. He didn't prove anything on SmackDown, which was not entirely his fault. WWE only gave him some leash, but it'll be interesting to see. And one thing I just wanted to add with the John Cena thing, if they would have kept him on SmackDown, Raw would have been crippled in the face department. They would have had John Morrison, The Big Show, and Rey Mysterio. That's not exactly your big-time guys anymore.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. The whole face without Cena. It's just, I think, I kind of wish that they, if they had done that, then they would make The Miz a top face in the company. But I want to touch on the Zack Ryder deal there. Some of his YouTube videos are fantastic, I must say. Just from the way he's climbing a fence, saying, I'm trying to get over. It's just really, really upsetting that they're not using him well. I mean, Carl, why do you think that they're not, WWE are not using Zack Ryder to his full potential?
I don't know. That's a really good question. I mean, he started off with, you know, he had the thing on ECW where he was fighting with Christian a little bit. He was barely into that title picture, but he was, you know, getting over on SmackDown a little bit. And then, you know, ECW went away, and he just kind of, like, fell to the mix. He didn't really go anywhere. I don't know. He's obviously entertaining. I mean, like you said, his YouTube videos are actually pretty incredible, and he's trying to do this because, you know, he's not getting any TV time at all. It's amazing to me, because I think he's come a long way over the past year. He was quite green in the beginning, but I definitely think that he's improved, and I wish he would get a little bit more of a shot here on Raw or SmackDown.
Yeah, I think it's just, if they do push him, I just don't see them doing it well. He put it like this. He said that his YouTube channel was getting more views than Superstars, SmackDown, and NXT on YouTube put together. I mean, for someone who has a really lame, like, catchphrase, some lame gear, you know, it's kind of amazing how many views he's getting. And I can see him a tag team with someone like Santino, where I know it seems a bit silly, but, you know, the kids would love that. It's a shame that they're not using him to his full potential.
That's a good point. They could at least try him in a comedic, you know, heel role or something, or just do something like the Santino thing. Just get him on TV, because people obviously enjoy watching him, like you said, with the numbers on YouTube. It's ridiculous.
I mean, George, have you seen any of these videos? They're entertaining, but what are your thoughts on why they're not using Zack Ryder?
I was amazed that he wasn't actually on the draft. In the WWE draft room, the amount of people requesting Zack Ryder, it was pretty much every second person. He should be on TV. He's quite funny. He's clearly going to be over if he does debut. I think the problem is he's got that gimmick of IZ, and it's very much WWE's about PG now, which is just a nuisance, really. Someone like Zack Ryder would have been ideal in the Attitude Era. I think they should really get him on SmackDown. He would really add a lot to that brand and that product.
I mean, can you imagine Santino and Zack Ryder together with, like, the Cobra?
They'd be unstoppable.
Do you know what? Why he isn't in the Apple or whatever it's called is actually quite bemusing. It's a shame, really, though, because he's become, as you said, Kyle, he's come a long way since he started. And he's clearly good on the mic from what it looks like. But he's just, are they ever going to use him, and are they going to do it well?
I'll be honest. I thought he was terrible when I first saw him in ECW, and he might have been, but, like, you know, like I was saying, and you reiterated, he's come a long way, and it would just be nice to see, after what he's done on his own via YouTube and whatever, it'd be nice to see him given a single shot at doing something good in the WWE.
In the draft, on the Raw side, I was very surprised that R-Truth didn't move to SmackDown as, like, the major heel, considering he's just had that push as such, and he was in the main angle 2 weeks ago. I would have thought that they would have moved into SmackDown just to add some sort of semi-star power there.
I mean, just adding back to the Zack Ryder thing there, I think it's quite nice to see a superstar that actually is going out his way to make himself become big. And, you know, by doing a YouTube video each week is a really clever idea. I mean, no one else has done it, have they? So, and he's becoming popular. He's becoming increasingly popular.
In a strange way, he kind of reminds me of, in a strange way, of, like, Christian and Edge, because, or like the Hardy Boys. Look at Jeff and Matt. They were in the WWE for years, and they were jobbers every night on Raw and every WWE superstar show that they had back then. They were jobbers. So what did they do? You know, the Attitude Era came along, and they decided to just, like, go all out every night, destroy their bodies, and look, it made them famous. Now, Zack Ryder, he's been a jobber. What's he doing? He's going out on his own and trying to create something special, and he's getting noticed.
I mean, George, do you have anything more to touch on in terms of the draft? Otherwise, I think we'll wrap this segment up.
No, it just shall be interesting to see how they go for the next year, considering working towards SummerSlam, it is going to be apparently Del Rio versus Cena. So it should be interesting.
Yeah, Carl, yourself, any more comments or thoughts on the draft?
No, that pretty much wraps it up.
Why don't you go ahead and plug your website, Carl, and the all your audio that you're doing as well now?
Oh, sure. It's ineedwrestling.com. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. And now on Mondays and Thursdays, we have a recap after Raw and Impact on Thursday at 10:30 p.m. Central. And we also do a show at 10:30 p.m. Central after pay-per-views, which will be including Extreme Rules this Sunday.
And as always, you can watch the Shop Pro Wrestling Talk Show on Facebook by heading to www.facebook.com/AftershockWrestling. Go there, like the page, and stay up to date on all the latest news on the show. But anyway, I'll tell you what, we'll wrap this segment up, guys, and go to commercial break. We'll be right back with an Extreme Rules pay-per-view preview.
Stand there and shut up, because I've got a lot to say.
I am Bobby the Brain Heenan. Get it straight.
We're here making television history right now.
Now, for the first time ever released on DVD, the unprecedented collection of one of the greatest managers of all time in Bobby the Brain Heenan.
You know, I'm the kind of a man that doesn't like to be made a fool. You listen to me, you go to the top.
From his dynamic relationship with Gorilla Monsoon.
Will you stop? Just wait a minute. We're on the air here.
What was this, a joke?
Yes, I know exactly what's going on here.
I had my dinner.
Why don't you be serious?
To a controversial time with WCW.
Someone please tell us what's going on, please.
Relive the most outlandish.
Come on, Matilda. Try to catch me, miserable nut.
Witty.
Well, in Beverly Hills, I happen to know that my mailman right there is Hunchback. I'm just carrying my mail.
And unforgettable moments that has shaped the Brain's illustrious career. Bobby the Brain Heenan, available now.
We are back here on the Aftershock Pro Wrestling Talk Show, where I am currently joined by my usual co-host, George Jones, and iNeedWrestling.com's very own Kyle Patton. As we mentioned in the beginning of the show, this Sunday, May 1st, WWE's annual pay-per-view Extreme Rules takes place in Tampa, Florida. And gentlemen, what do we think of the pay-per-view in general? Are we looking forward to it? George, why don't you give us your thoughts?
No, it's not going to be particularly good. It's one of the weakest pay-per-views WWE have had for a long time. I think the only thing that's going to be interesting about it is just to see what happens with one of the world titles. Possibly both world titles could be on Raw next week.
Kyle, are you looking forward to this pay-per-view, or do you think it's been a little bit of lack of the push, or what's your opinion?
It's a typical pay-per-view after WrestleMania. They have a few of the feuds that happened at WrestleMania continue and end at Extreme Rules. And the thing I am looking forward to is, you know, what happens with the world title and the WWE Championship. I don't think they're going to end up on one show. I mean, they obviously could, you know, fix it on a show easily, but they would just, it would just be terrible if they did that. But those matches I'm looking forward to, this stuff with JR and Jerry Lawler and, you know, Michael Cole, excuse me, and Jack Swagger, not looking forward to it.
I mean, we'll run down the card in full in a moment, but I just want to, my thoughts are that the WWE have just realized that the UFC pay-per-view on the night before, they've booked it at a stupid time, and I think that buys are going to be fairly bad, so is there any point in trying to build it up too much? You know, can we actually win the fans over? Because everyone's jumping over to UFC nowadays. But anyway, let's crack on with the card. First off on my list, we have a country whipping match between Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler versus Michael Cole and Jack Swagger. To me, this has been, Michael Cole is just becoming irritating, and not in a good way, not in the heel way that they should. His segments seem to drag out forever. He completely disrespects the Divas. It's just, I'm not looking forward to seeing Jim Ross in the ring, really, and Jerry Lawler. I can just see this match going on for ages and ages. My other problem with it is that Jack Swagger was slapped in the face by Michael Cole. I mean, if you're slapped by someone a week later, are you going to be hugging them, kissing them, and coming up and being watching him be knighted by the Queen. It doesn't seem necessary. George, what are your thoughts on this first match that I have here?
Yeah, I think it's carried on a bit now, but I expect Cole and Swagger will win. I think next month it's going to be Swagger versus Jerry Kindler. It's just carry on continually. Although, because JR's injured, perhaps they'll just make the match quite quick, hopefully. But you know Michael Cole, he has to be the centre of attention in his coal mine.
Yeah, my worry also is that they'll be doing the whole Michael Cole warming up for ages gimmick, and they'll just drag on and drag on, and people just go out for tea breaks or whatever have you. You know, this is the concern for me. And I mean, Cole, what's your thoughts on the match?
Like I said, not looking forward to this match at all. Michael Cole and Jim Ross shouldn't be in a ring. This match, if it lasts any longer than 5 minutes, will be terrible. You guys are pointing out that Cole has been kind of dragging on here with his heel role. I used to be a huge fan. I still am a fan of the Michael Cole heel character, but it's being overdone now, and I think he's drawing a little bit too much cheap heat instead of heat. You know, the whole knighting with the Queen and stuff, I'm not going to get into it all, but I'm going to go with, I actually am hoping that the faces will finish this, because I hope that Michael Cole moves on to something else, Jim Ross stays away from the ring, and Jack Swagger gets something better. So I'm going to go with the baby faces in this match. Hopefully it lasts 5 minutes.
I mean, George, you mentioned there that you think that it's going to be Michael Cole versus Jack Swagger at the next pay-per-view. But my question for you guys is that, do you think WWE actually have this planned out, or are just booking it week after week? George, what do you think?
No, I think I did actually say that it was going to be Jerry Lawler versus Jack Swagger, not Michael Cole versus Jack Swagger. But changing the subject, I think, they're just booking on the fly. I think the thing is, they've run out of ideas. At one point, the Cole versus Jerry Lawler JR thing was really over, but since WrestleMania, it's just died. And constantly seeing JR on the floor, the face is always getting beaten up. They never seem to ever get payback. Just seems to be a total waste of time, really.
I mean, Carl, do you think this is going to happen, that the next match of the pay-per-view will be Michael Cole versus Jack Swagger?
I hope to God not. I hope not. They obviously had this booked out well in advance at Mania, but now it appears that it's on the fly, adding Jim Ross in and doing all this stuff. I hope that it just ends. I hope that Swagger can move on to something better, and I hope that Cole comes up with something more original than drawing cheap heat from the fans.
The next match we have here on my card is a Falls Count Anywhere match between Cody Rhodes and Rey Mysterio. Now, this is one draft I didn't actually touch on, but I believe Cody Rhodes has moved to Raw, and this is
He's still on SmackDown.
Oh, is he? I thought
Rey Mysterio's gone to Raw.
Oh, that's the one. Sorry. Yep, my bad.
List, he's still there.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be an interesting match. I enjoyed this segment on last week's SmackDown. I know, George, you weren't a fan of it, but I thought it was well done. And it's just a shame that this feud's probably going to end at the end of this. You know, Rey chose Cody to work with, and I see why. It's worked well. I mean, who do we think's going to win, George?
I'm saying Cody Reynolds, or Cody Rhodes even, as they need to push him as a major heel because they're short, and I think he's sort of got that psycho gimmick now. I think he'll win. I think Rey will put him over because of Raw's full of bigger stars than Rey Mysterio.
Carl, what's your thoughts on the match?
I think I've said it on this show before, but this is one of my favorite feuds, if not my favorite feud going on. I think Cody is done. You know, an extraordinary job, and is showing true potential. My gut is telling me that Ray's going to go over, but I believe that Cody needs to go over again. It helped him at WrestleMania, and then Ray got the better of him on SmackDown, so Cody needs to go over. I'll pick Cody Rhodes on this. I think this is going to help elevate his career even more, and he's doing good in the mic.
Yeah, I think this is going to be the end of it, and we will see Cody win. Just make him look better for Raw and when he moves over. But swiftly moving on to my next match on the card here is a last man standing match between CM Punk and Randy Orton. to me, this has been very mixed build up. I think it'll be a good match. Just whether it actually is necessary is my worrying. It's just, to be honest, I'm not interested in the feud, but you know, they're both good workers and I'll enjoy the match. I mean, guys, what do we think and who's going to win? Kyle?
As I've said many times, this feud has been going on way too long now. You know, I thought it ended at Mania when, you know, Randy Orton took out the last member of Nexus. Then they give away a free match on TV recently on Raw, I believe 2 weeks ago. And Randy Orton again goes over clean, if I remember correctly. This needs to end now. If they were smart, I think they would have CM Punk somehow go over. It's not going to happen. Randy Orton goes over at Extreme Rules.
George, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm agreeing. Orton will win. It's because he's the main face of SmackDown now, so he's going to be on a huge push. He'll win this, and then he'll be going to a feud with Runnels, I guess.
Yeah, I think it'll be an interesting match. I agree with Kyle there that this has carried on way too long. But I know there's also a Divas match here. I don't want to mention it.
There is?
According to spoilers.
Lucha Leaves Town match.
Is it?
Yeah, it's Lucha Leaves Town. And it's Michelle McCool versus Layla. My prediction for this match is McCool will win. I don't think Undertaker will let his wife get fired.
Okay, sorry, we missed you there, but I believe you said Michelle McCool?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she's Undertaker's wife. I don't think Undertaker will let his wife get fired from wrestling, to be honest.
Yeah, I think it won't be long before whoever goes out will be back in. You know, this is WWE we're talking about, so it won't be.
There's also another match, the United States title, Kofi Kingston versus Sheamus. I just wonder what your predictions were on that, guys.
Sheamus to win, bring some brand awareness and more publicity to SmackDown.
What about you, Carl?
There's been talk about adding that match a week. If they do add it, I'm going with Sheamus on this one.
I'm going to go for Kofi to take the title to Raw, so Raw has one of the major titles as such.
I didn't actually think about that. I'm gonna actually, if I can, switch, because that would make sense to have both our titles on different shows. So Kofi.
I was actually thinking it was the same as you guys just before you mentioned it, but I'll stick with my decision. The next match on the card is a ladder match for the World Heavyweight title. It's Christian versus Alberto Del Rio. I hope to see Christian win it, but you never know, really. I think he has a very good chance of winning it, just whether Alberto Del Rio's ring announcer and Brutus Clay get involved in the match. I mean, George, what do you think? Who's going to win?
Christian will win it, unfortunately. But if they want to shock people, I reckon Del Rio should win it, and possibly the Raw GM could make him defend the title on both brands. Del Rio is due to win the title at some point. I think if he hadn't moved, he would have won it probably this event.
Kyle, your thoughts?
Mark my words, Del Rio will be a world champion by the end of this year, but it's not going to happen Sunday. Christian's going to get it. It'll be the feel-good story for Edge's farewell, and Christian, they'll give him the ball, but I'm sure it's not going to last long with the title reign. It'll maybe last a month or something, but I think it's going to be Christian this Sunday.
Do we see Edge doing some sort of run-in and helping?
It's not Christian out of the question.
I don't think he'll be there. I think they just want to let Christian be his own person. If Edge is there, it's sort of just always in the background of Christian. Christian's always going to be in the background. Christian does need to win the title and be the main man on SmackDown.
It's not out of the question, but I don't think, like George said, I don't think it's going to happen. And Christian's already beat Del Rio clean on television. He doesn't need any help. He needs to be his own guy. I think it's going to be a clean finish. He might show up. Edge might show up, but I don't think he's going to get involved in the match.
I would expect Christian to take the majority of the bumps in this match, to be honest. If there's any spots, Christian, I'm sure, will take them. Although both are quite technically sound wrestlers.
I mean, my final match here on the card is the triple threat cage match for the WWE title. Yeah, John Morrison versus Cena versus The Miz. I actually see them adding in R-Truth some way, either getting rid of John Morrison or adding him to the match. I mean, who do you think is going to win, guys? I'm personally going with, I think I'm going to say The Miz to retain. I think we leave John Cena to sort out his stuff with The Rock on Monday night. But what are you thinking, Kyle?
I'm going with The Miz on this match. Whether people like it or not, it's been a successful title reign. All those naysayers out there that said he's a transitional champion, that's not true. He's had the title for over 150 days now, which is, from what I remember correctly, there's only been three in the last several years that have done that, the last maybe like 4 years. I'm going with The Miz. Putting the title on Cena right now doesn't make sense to me. I mean, I can't see it happening. But I think it's better on The Miz and have John Cena chasing him or have another ace on Raw chasing him. Miz will lose it eventually, but I don't think it happens this Sunday.
George, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm going for The Miz. The reason I'm going for The Miz is I don't think they'll have two face champions, because if Cena wins the match, they're not only going to have Christian as champion, they'll have Cena. Yeah, Miz will win it. I think John Morrison's only in there just to make up the numbers and take some bumps off the cage, really. I think he'll just be there to do some spots, really. He's just a passenger in this match. I can't see him winning it. It's got to be Miz.
Yeah, I mean, what is overall on this card that I've read out, what is going to be your match of the night contender, do you think? Personally, for me, it's either going to be the Del Rio match. I'm either going to say Del Rio or the Falls Count Anywhere match. I mean, CM Punk versus Randy Orton could well be up for it, but I just don't feel that the feud's been built enough, built well for it to mean much. I mean, Carl, what's yours? What do you think is going to stand out the most on the card?
If this was the Attitude Era, I would say that CM Punk and Randy Orton have a good shot at stealing the show, but it's not going to happen. It's PG. I think this is easily Christian and Del Rio's show. They should steal it. This is their moment to take it. I think this will be the best match on the card.
I've got to say one thing, though. I hope that match goes last. It's sort of handing over a brand new champion, guaranteed. They need to have that match last.
I couldn't agree more. It should.
Yeah, I think it will have big effect on them both. But anyway, guys, we have some, I believe we had one or two questions in the chat room. George, why don't you go ahead and read the ones we've got out?
Crimson Ant has asked, who do we believe will be fired? I'm going to ask Carl if I may first. From WWE.
Go ahead.
Crimson Ant has asked, who do we believe will get fired from WWE in the next month or two?
Well, as you know, I don't know if we've mentioned on the show before, but the WWE normally does a spring cleaning right after the draft or in this time of year. I'm looking at guys on the chopping block, in my view, would be guys like Chris Masters, which I hope he doesn't leave because I don't think he's been given a real fair shot, but Chris Masters is a guy. I don't think Tyler Rex will be one because he hasn't been around long enough. Zack Ryder has been talked about, unfortunately, but I don't think with the success of his YouTube show that's going to happen. Maybe guys like even Yoshitatsu could be. I don't know. But he's had his moment on NXT, but nobody watches that, so that doesn't say a whole lot. So I don't know. Guys like that are the guys I think they're looking at.
George, what are you thinking in terms of cuts?
I think you're looking at people like Tyson Kidd, the Uso brothers, JTG, people like that that are just not over. They're just there making up the numbers.
That's one I forgot, but JTG I definitely think is a guy that's on the chopping block because he's doing absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I'm going to agree there with JTG, but also the Usos, I really don't see them doing much at all.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, if WWE is smart, they would, fix their tag team division and have the Usos doing something, but they don't care about their tag team division.
No, I don't think they're going to care for a while either. I think they're going to be more focused on keeping the heavyweights doing decent stuff, and then also now that Awesome Kong looks as if she's coming into the mix, hoping that she'll improve the Divas division too. I mean, guys, have we got any more picks as to who will be going out on or who will be getting the cut towards the end of the in the next few months?
I definitely agree. I'm sorry, go ahead, George.
I was going to say, I think majority of the NXT roster, to be honest, I think that show's just full of the disasters, really. Sorry. And a lot of the developmental guys as well will probably go. Sorry, Carl, carry on.
I completely agree with that. I think guys like Jacob Novak I know he's doing his little thing with William Regal on NXT, but like I said before, NXT doesn't matter. I think guys like that are going to get a cut eventually. He's nothing special. He doesn't even have a good look. a lot of those developmental guys are going to go. And I had something else, but it slipped my mind, so carry on.
I'm going to say also Hornswoggle. I don't see him sticking around for too long, even though he is liked by the kids. I just don't feel that WWE really need him. You know, was he used on Mania apart from that stupid skit that they did? I just can't see them keeping him. There's midget wrestling or whatever you have just isn't working for the WWE anymore. But other than that, guys, let's close the show down. I mean, Carl, why don't you plug your stuff again just once more?
Sure. Ineedwrestling.com. Check it out. News columns and a whole lot more. We also have a new radio show. Check it out. And we're also on Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah, you'll have to excuse me on this evening. I'm not feeling it the best, so the show may have sounded a little bit dodgy on my behalf. But this is Jim Wolford, and on behalf of both George and Carl, thanks for tuning in. The show has sadly come to an end. We hope to see you next week. Until then, good night.
Goodbye.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
I used to feel down, but I hit the ground running. I'm not an EMS impressor.